So we're going to start off. Today's daf is Nun Tes. We are on Nun Tes, right? We by the by Rabbi Yochanan, or did we finish Rabbi Yochanan? Okay, Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so we're continuing. The question that we're discussing was you had this bell, right? So this bell that had the clapper taken out. So the Braisa had said that if you took out this clapper in Bilehen, you took it out, it's still the Tumah. So the Gemara asked, why is it still a Tameh? Why is it still a Tameh? What type of kli is it? What can it be used? The bell is to, the clapper is the functional part of the bell, which is to make it ring. So if you take it out, you take out the clapper, what's the function? So Abai said, oh, it's not a big deal because it still can be susceptible to Tumah because it's easily fixed. A hedgehog can fix it. Rava said the reason why it's still susceptible to Tumah is because it can still work, it can still function, because it's still considered a functional kli, because you can bang the bell like on a piece of clay, and it will make noise. Now we're up to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, nah, it's not a real big deal, because even if you take the clapper out, it still has a function for something else. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Hoil v'roi l'gomabo mayim l'tinok. The bell can, I guess, can be turned over, and can be used as a sort of cup, and it can be used as a base keyboard, and it can be used as a cup, and therefore it can be used to give a baby or somebody to drink from it. So you see this big chiddush for Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that even though that this bell maintains a function, but this function is completely unrelated to the function it was created for. The bell was created for the purpose of making noise. Now you're using it for a different function, and nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says, since it has that other type of function, it has this new function that is sufficient enough for it to maintain its status of a kli, and if it maintains its status of a kli, it's still susceptible to tumah. So the Gemara asks that exact question. The Gemara says, the Rabbi Yochanan lo boi me'ein malacha rishona. Does Rabbi Yochanan not hold that you need, in order for a kli to maintain its keli status, for it to be susceptible to tumah, it has to retain its initial status that it was created for? Right? That should be the status. According to Abaye, and according to Rava, it's still maintaining its initial status. Abaye says it never lost the status of a kli because the hedgehog can just put the clapper in. Rava says it still can clap and make noise. You just have to bang it on a piece of pottery. But Rav Yochanan is saying it maintains a status for doing something completely different than it was created for. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan lo boi me'ein malach rishon. Does Rav Yochanan not require that it must maintain its initial status to be tameh? Vatanya, he quotes the following brisa, and this brisa is by Tumas Medras Hazav. We have Tumas Medras, is a special type of tumah. You have a zav who sits on something, and if he sits on something, even if it's a bunch of layers underneath, it retains the status of a zav. Usually, tumah goes down a level. A zav is considered an av. If he sits, Tumas Medras of a zav has the same status. It still maintains an av. It doesn't go down. It doesn't go down the level. So, what's the brisa? The brisa says, quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says by Tumas Medras Hazav, v'chol kli asher yeshev alav yitma. Any kli that the zav sits on will become tameh. So yachol, you might think that even the sitting on a kli means any type of kli, right? Even if he sat on a cup, right? Yachol, or a table. Yachol kafa sa'av yashav alav. Maybe you would think if he took some sort of barrel that holds a saw, right? He turned the kli upside down and he sat on it. Or kafa tarka of a yashav alav, or that's a kli that holds half a saw. Whatever, he turned a measuring cup, then he turned it upside down and sat on it. You might think he hate tameh, that kli will become tameh medras. Talmud Lomer, the pasuk says, asher yeshev alav hazav. Yeshev is a future tense, and yeshev means that the zav is not going to be metamin medras, only something miyuchad yeshiva, only something that's specifically made for sitting. That would be a chair, that could be a blanket, it could be a carpet, or something that's used for sitting. Misha miyuchad yeshiva, yatsa, that comes to exclude ze, that comes to exclude these measuring kalim. Those things are not miyuchad yeshiva, so if the zav sits on those are not mikabel tumah. It has to be something that's specific for yeshiva. And sha'omrim lo, because we say to him, amod v'nasem alachteinu. Same idea is that we tell them, we tell the kli basically, serve your purpose. We tell the kli, you have to serve your purpose. Serve your purpose means it has to be something that's purposeful for sitting. So there's a whole machlokas, we show them how do you learn this. But the bottom line is that what comes out from here is what they're trying to, at least according to Rashi, is that just like in the beginning, something that's tamei tumah zav, the only thing that can be tamei tumah zav is something that is serving the purpose of yeshiva, right? That's term is purpose of yeshiva. That's what creates the yeshiva. So too, if at the end it loses its status of yeshiva, it will not maintain the status of tumah zav. For example, if you had a carpet that's supposed to be size X, and eventually it gets ripped into small pieces, and a zav sits on it, and it gets ripped to small pieces, it's no longer something that has the status so that you're going to sit on it. It uses its a mod v'nasim lachtenu. It uses its functional purpose. It's not something for sitting. So just like it has to be functional to accept a tumah, it has to be functional for sitting and to retain the status of tumah. So you see from here that in order for something to be a tamei zav, it has to maintain the status, its usage as being something that sat on. And Rav Elazar says b'midrashas omrim a mod v'nasim lachtenu. Only when it comes to Tumah's Medrash do we say that in order to maintain the status of Tumah, it has to maintain its functionality as something that's being sat on. There ain't Omri B'tamei Meisa So V'Nasim Lachtenu. But we don't say that something became Tamei Meisa. And other types of Tumah, we don't say, okay, this is a Kli, and that if it once it was Mekabel Tumah, and now it loses its status as for what its initial status, it still maintains its Tumah. But Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Af Omer B'tamei Meisa Amo V'Nasim Lachtenu. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, in order for something to maintain its status of Tumah, in order to maintain its susceptibility of Tumah, it has to maintain its original functionality. Well, that goes against what Rav Yochanan just said by us. Rav Yochanan just said by us the reason why that this keli, this bell, maintains its susceptibility to tumah is because it can be used for something else. It can be used to give a baby something to drink. That's not its malacha. Right, that's not what it was initially made for. It was initially made to be a ringer, right? To be a bell. And this Brisa tells us that Rav Yochanan says in order to maintain the status, it has to make its tumah status. It has to maintain its initial functionality. It's a steerer in Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara is stuck. So the Gemara says epoch kamaisa. We have to flip the shitas. Kamaisa means we have two statements of Rav Yochanan. We have Rav Yochanan by the bell, and we have Rav Yochanan by the by something that has to maintain its status in order to be susceptible to tumas meis. So the Gemara says you have to flip the first sheet of Rav Yochanan and say Rav Yochanan is not the one who says that the reason why the bell maintains its tumas status is because it can be used as a cup for a baby. Switch that with somebody else. You know, switch that, maybe with the one who says that you could that it's maintained its tumah status because it can be banged on the piece of cheres. You have to switch that. Meaning, Rav Yochanan is going to hold that in order for something to maintain its tumah status or to maintain its susceptibility to tumah, it still has to have its initial functionality. So when we answer the reasons why the bell maintains its tumah status, Rav Yochanan is going to be the one who says it's because it maintains its functionality and that it can be used by banging it on a piece of pottery. And somebody else is going to be the one who says that it can be given to a baby to use as a cup. So the Gemara says, Correct. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, perfect. Perfect. That was Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Yeah, okay, amazing. Okay, good. So the Gemara then says, Umay chazis to afacht kamaisa epoch basraisa. So the Gemara asks, why are you so inclined? You have to switch something. Why are you forcing yourself to switch the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan? Why don't you fix the second statement of Rabbi Yochanan? I'm always bothered by these questions because you can always ask it either way. If we switch the second one, you just ask the first. It's like a leading question. Clearly, the Gemara has a reason why, and that's what the Gemara does. This leads you into it. The Gemara says, "Umay chazus afata kamaisa ebuch first raisa." You can also switch the second statement of Rabbi Yochanan and say that Rabbi Yochanan was the one who says that you don't need to maintain maintain its initial functionality. So the Gemara says, "No, I need to switch the second one. I need to switch the first one because the second one is apparently correct because we have another statement of Rabbi Yochanan which supports the second statement." Hasha minalei the Rabbi Yochanan. As we see elsewhere from Rav Yochanan, the boy me'ein melacha rishona. We see elsewhere that Rav Yochanan is going to require, in order for something to maintain its ability to be susceptible to tumah or to maintain its tumah status, it has to still have its initial functionality. The Tnan, we learned it in Mishnah, this is in the 14th parak of Kalim. Sandal shel behema. So you have this. It's not like a horseshoe that we have, you know, that's like in a U. It's an actual, like sort of like a sandal that was put on these animals. And some gears have behema temeya, because if it's a behema tahora, you'll see it would have a split hoof, and that wouldn't really work for the functionality we're about to do. But sandal shel behema shel matechas. It's this metal covering that they would put on the bottom of the shoe of the animal. And the Gemara says it is tame. It can be it could be makabel tuma. I guess they use it, I guess, to protect the hoof of the animal. It's makabel tuma. So the Gemara says, well, why is it makabel tuma? Lemai chazi. What type, what's its functionality? In order for something to be makabel tuma, it has to be functional for the human. This is only functional for the animal. So what functionality does it have to make it susceptible to tuma? Right? Lemai chazi. So the Gemara gives a few answers. Number one, amarav, ro'oi lishtos bo mayim bil mechama. I guess it's saying when it's initially made, it also has a little bit of a base kepel. It could, and therefore it could be used in a pinch. It could be used to drink out of. Hopefully after or before it was worn by the animal, but it can be used. It can be used as a sort of a cup. Rabbi Chanina says, yeah, it can be used. I guess they used to anoint themselves with oil, something that they would use. It has this functionality to be used for personal hygienic matters. But here's the kicker. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bishal Sheboreach Min HaKarav. I guess when a person is running away from battle, right, or he's running away from the battle, Meinichu Biraglov, it has functionality that can be used by a person to put on their feet. Virats ala kotzim ve'al ha'barkanim. It can run on the kotzim, on the thorns, and the barkanim. And I'll send a picture. The barkanim is a flower. It's actually in bloom right now. It's right outside Shalvim. They have tons of them all over in the park there. It's like thistles. It's this very sharp, purplish flower. So the barkanim. It's actually, if you look in Tanakh, Gidon used this to punish the people who didn't fight with him. He would smack them with these barkanim. They're these sharp things. So they would put them on their feet to run with. So you see here that it has this functionality, and therefore it has to. So it has a functionality as a human. But Rav Yochanan is saying that what's the functionality that it has to be? It has to be functional. Why is it mekabel tuma? It's mekabel tuma because it has a function similar to what was initially made for. It was initially made for protective wear on the feet. That's why Rav Yochanan says that it has to be similar to that protective wear, that's a feet wear for a person. And therefore, you see that Rav Yochanan says it has to maintain its initial functionality. That's why if we're going to switch any shitas of Rav Yochanan, we're going to switch the first shita of Rav Yochanan, not the second statement of Rav Yochanan, because it's clear from here that Rav Yochanan requires something to maintain its initial functionality. So again, by the bell, the reason why Rav Yochanan would say it would be makabel tuma when you take the clapper out is because it can still be used to bang on something. He wouldn't be the one who says that you can use it for a baby to drink, because that's a totally different functionality, and that's not what Rav Yochanan allows. Okay, so the Gemara then asks, "My ben Rav the Rabbi Chanina." Basically, you know, this whole thing now that we have with this horseshoe, right? So what's the difference between Rav, who said the reason why it's makabel tuma is because you can drink from it, and Rabbi Chanina, who says the reason why it's makabel tuma is because of functionality and that it can be used for anointing yourselves with oil. So the Gemara says, Ikebenai, what we mentioned before, you don't have the mice. If it's really gross, if it's disgusting, right? If the sandal is really disgusting, so according to Rav, it's not going to be makabel tuma anymore because it no longer can serve its function of drinking from it. No one's going to drink from it. But according to Rav Chanina, it would still be able to function because who cares, I guess, whether it has stuff inside of it. You can still keep the oil in it, take the oil and put it on your body. And what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina? And I would think it would be between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina and Rav. The difference would be Ikebenai would be yakir. If yakir means very heavy. So if it's very heavy, right, then it wouldn't be able to be used as a shoe. So it's not going to be able to be used as a shoe, so Rav Yochanan loses its functionality and therefore would not be makabel tuma. But according to Rav and to Rabbi Chanina, just because it's heavy, you can still use it as a receptacle for water or as a receptacle for oil. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, if it's too heavy, the whole purpose of this is that he can put it on his feet and run away. If it's too heavy, he's not going to be able to use it to run away. It doesn't serve its purpose. Okay. Back into the Mishnah. The Mishnah had mentioned that a woman can't go out on Shabbos to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim wearing what's called the Ir Shel Zahav. So what is this Ir Shel Zahav? My Ir Shel Zahav. Rabba Bar Barchana Amar Yochanan Yushalayim de Dahava. It's a tachshit, it's some sort of piece of jewelry that has a picture, a golden picture of Yushalayim, the original Yushalayim Shel Zahav on it. That's what it is. Rashi had mentioned that some sort of plate. It's worn on the chest, and Rabbeinu Tam here says that it's not that. He thinks it's like a crown. It's worn on the head, but it's this beautiful, very, very, I guess, heavy piece of gold. And the concern is that they'll take it off and then walk Dalet Amos versus Harabim. So the Gemara said. The Gemara then says, "What's a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav? Kid the Avidle Rabbi Kiva Lidivisu, like Rabbi Kiva made for his wife." So what's that story? And Rashi points out, Maseches Nedarim Daf Nun. The story of Maseches Nedarim Daf Nun tells the story that when Rabbi Akiva and his wife were married, and her father, Lokabel Savua, made an edda, they won't be able to get any benefit from him, so they ended up sleeping in a barn. and the bar at night, they woke up in the morning, there was a straw in his wife's, in Rachel's hair. And Rabbi Akiva said that, I promise you that in the future, instead of you having straw in your hair, I'll make you a Yerushalayim Shel Zahav in your hair. And I guess at the end of the story, in order to be Menachem, Rabbi Akiva, someone came knocking on the door asking if they can borrow straw. So Rabbi Akiva says to his wife, you see, we thought that we were so bad, we don't have gold, we only have straw. Look at this person, he doesn't even have straw. That's the reference to the Gemara on that says here, Kida Avid Lei Rabbi Akiva Lidibisayu. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, and bring a machlokas about this. Tana Rabbanan, Lo Teitze Isha Be'ir Shel Zahav. A woman cannot walk out with this Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. The Im Yotza Chayeves Chatos Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says if she did, not only is it she not allowed to, it's an Issa D'Oraisa, and she violates that, and she walks Dal Ramos or Shus Arabim with it, or she gets, yeah, it's going to be, she's going to be Chayev Chatos. Chachamim Omrim, we go for all across the Shitas. Chachamim Omrim Lo Teitze, she's not supposed to go out. The Im Yotza Pesura, it's Pater of Alasser, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Rabbi Lezer Omer, Rabbi Lezer says, Yotze Isha Be'ir Shel Zahav L'Chachilo. She can go out, L'Chachilo, she's allowed to go out of it. From one side to the other side, we have the machlokas. So Gemara says, "B'mai kamifli." So what's the root of their machlokas? So Rav Meir says, "Masoihi." Rav Revi says it's a burden. I guess it's really, really heavy, and it's not done as a tashit. It's a really, really burden. They be shown and point out that according to Rabbi Meir, this is in the Rash, but the Tosa Rush, they say it's really, really heavy. It's not done as a tashit. It's not jewelry. It's just something that people wear to show off. Right, it's just, look what I have. I have this tachshit shel zahav. This is what they show off. And since it's very heavy and it's not jewelry, there's going to be an issur Torah to wear it out because it's a masui. It's a burden. It's not a piece of jewelry, and therefore you'll be chayiv chatas if you brought it out. There's a fascinating rashash. The rashash says that once the chachamim tell you that you're not allowed to wear something outside, then they were mafkia the status of jewelry from this item. And once the chachamim mafkia the status of jewelry, it now becomes a masui. Which is fascinating because that means, according to this, Rav Meir would argue on everything in our first Mishnah. Our Mishnah said all these things that the women can't go out with because Chachamim say you can't go out with. So according to that, Rav Meir would say that they're all asur midoraisa, which is very tough to say because his shita doesn't appear anywhere. So it's a big chiddush by the Rishash and shita's Rav Meir. That's Rav Meir says asur midoraisa. Rabbanan say it's tachshit. No, tachshitu. It's a piece of jewelry. Yeah, it happens to be heavy, but it's tachshit. But they made a gzeira dilma shafi machvile. They made a gzeira since it's something that's so valuable, maybe somebody wants to show it off, and they'll take it off their body and show it to people, and they'll walk down the Sarabim. That's when they say the Takan de Rabbanan. Right? He says, Dilma Shafa Machvileva Asalasuye. Rav Loza says, no, wait a second. Man Dark Lemepak, who is the person who wears this Yushalayim Shal Zahav? Who mine darka lemepak ir shel zahav isha chashuva? It's only a very wealthy, important woman who's going to wear it. The isha chashuva lo mishlo mache, a really important, wealthy woman does not take off her clothing and say, "Oh, look what I have." She has the status in and of itself. We don't have to worry about it. It's a tashit. She's not going to take it off, or we don't have to be goes that she's going to take it off. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar says it's mutter dioraisa. It's mutter even min haTorah for her to wear it in the Rishus Harabim. I don't know how to be paskin, there's a whole to-do, all these things about women nowadays, they wear jewelry in the street, even in places that have no Erev. So they have to figure out Nachum spoke about on day one, but there are shitas that have to explain why that became the minog, that the women wear their jewelry. He probably quotes the Aruch HaShulchan. As Aruch HaShulchan says that in those days, people didn't wear jewelry necessarily so often. So it was a big thing to wear it. So people would take it off to show off. Nowadays, most women have jewelry. It's not the derech of the women to take off the jewelry in the street. I don't know if that maybe, even with girls who get their engagement ring, they don't take it off. They just show it while it's on their finger. So maybe that's what the Aruch HaShulchan is matzlik the minog for people to wear it. Who does? Right? They never saw each other. Right, and now they just show up on Instagram and other places. But yeah, that's the, like I hear. Okay. All right, next, the Gemara now goes to something else called the Klila. The klila seems to be some sort of forehead plate, like a tzitz that was worn across the forehead. So you have this klila, it's worn from, Rashi says it's worn from Omei Ozen Lo Ozen, I think it's Rashi's language, Rashi says. And also, there were different types. There's one that's made completely out of precious metals, and there's another type that's made out of sort of cloth or fabric, but sewn into it are precious jewels. Seems to be that the two types. So the fabric type and the metallic type. All right, let me just see if I found that. Kalila, Rashi says, Al Pidachta, right, the top line. It's on her forehead. Vi koshratome ozen la ozen. It's tied from one ear to the other ear. Yesha kulo tas zahav. There's one that's fully gold. Yesha osim mimeshi tavoy im zahav. Two different types. So Rav Osser, Rav says you're not allowed, she's not allowed to wear it out. Ushmul matchari. And Shmuel says it's mutter. So which one are they talking about? So the Gemara says, the ansiba, the one that's made purely of precious metal, made of gold or silver, kuli amo no plugi da usr. Everyone thinks says that's usr because since it's something that's really, you know, beautiful and chashuv, they made exer, then maybe she'll take it off to show people. Ki pligi the machlokas, whether it's mutter or not, is the aruksa. It's the one that's made out of this fabric that has gold and precious jewels sewn into it. Mar savar aniska ikar. The one holds, says Rav, who says that it's mutter, he's going to say that Rav says it's usser, he's going to say that the gold and silver and the jewels that are in it, that's the ikker part of it, and therefore a woman would take it off to show it. Mar Savar, and Shmuel says it's mutter, is a ruksa ikker. He says, no, the fabric is ikker, and therefore the woman doesn't think it's such a big deal, and she's not going to take it off to show her off. Rav Ashi Masdi Lakula. So therefore, according to the first Mandamar, so there's Rav and Shmuel both say it's usser by the gold plate, gold one, and there's a machlokas whether the fabric one is mutter. Rav Ashi Masdi Lakula. Rashi says no Lakula. The Arukta, the one that's made out of the fabric, Kuliyam Lapligi Shari. Both Rav and Shmuel agree that it's mutter. Ki Pligi Da Niska. They argue about the one that's made out of gold or silver. Ma'ar Rav's going to hold sub to Dilma Safa Yu Machve Vasi Lasuya. He'd say that's usser, and because the possibility exists that she's going to take it off. And Shmar Shmuel's going to suffer Man Darkla Mepak Bekliva. Who's the one who walks out with this beautiful Klila made out of gold that runs all across her forehead? That is only a wealthy woman. That's Isha Chashuva of Isha Chashuva. Shafa al-Machya. She doesn't take it off, therefore he would say that would be mutter. Amar Le Rav Shmuel bar Chanel Rav Yosef. Rav Shmuel, interesting. I don't know, it must be somebody else. Shmuel is never called Rav, so it must be somebody else. Amar Le Rav Shmuel bar Chanel Le Rav Yosef. Beferish Amartel Amishmei Derav Klila Shari. It was said to me explicitly that Rav says that Klila Shari. So Rav, Klila Shari means the general Klila is mutter, both whether it's made out of metal or whether it's made out of the Klila. Klila would be, he said it's mutter. That would be a question on Rav, who says that it's usser to go out with the Klila. Must be that Rav only said the one that's usser is the one that's fully metal. But the one that's made out of fabric, he must hold that it's mutter, which would be a proof to the Rav Ashi's statement, that Rav Ashi Matni Lakula, that Rav only ussers the gold one, he doesn't usser the fabric one that has the stones embedded in it. Okay. So Amru Le Rav, it was said to Rav as follows: Asa Gavra Rabba Aricha Linaharda Umatla. A very, very tall man who came from Eretz Yisrael and made a drasha. So who's this very, very tall man? It has to be Levi, right? It's going to be Levi because Levi was very tall, and Levi limped because the Gemara says, I think in Ksubas, that he tried it, or Yoma, he tried to show he was very athletic, and he tried to show the Chachamim how they did the Hishtachavaya in the Beis HaMikdash, and he dislocated his hip, and he always walked with a limp. So Levi, who was actually a Talmud Chavir of Revi, he came from Eretz Yisrael. Man Gavra Rabba Richta de Itla, who is it? It's Levi. So the Gemara says, just states that if Levi is coming from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Shema Mina Noach Nafshi Dir of Ephes. Afis. It must be that Rabbi Afis died, the Yasir Rav Chanina Bereisha, and Rabbi Chanina is now the Rosh Hashiva, the Lo Havile Inish Levi Lemesiv Abay, and Levi has no longer as a Chavrusa to learn with, the Kaasi Lahacha, therefore he came here. So what is that talking about? So Rashi gives us a story. It's a Gemara in Ksubas in Daf Kuf Gimel, when Rebbe passes away. So B'mseches Ksubas, Rashi says, B'hanosa Amrinan D'chishachiv Rebbe, when Rebbe was on his deathbed, Rebbe Chanina Bar Chama Yeshev Rosh. He says that Rebbe Chanina should be the Rosh Hashiv in his stead. V'lo kibel Rebbe Chanina, but Chanina would not accept it. Shai Rebbe Afis Godel Menu Shtei Shana, because Rebbe Afis was older than him. He's 2 years older than him, and that was sufficient for Rebbe Chanina to say no. He has to become the Rebbe. Umitosh Shai Rebbe Chanina Chashiv, and since Rebbe Chanina was very Chashiv, he didn't want to disturb the Beis Medrash. So therefore, lo nichlas the Beis Medrasho. if he walked into the Beis Medrash, he was afraid that there would be some sort of power struggle between who's the Rosh Yeshiva. So he said Rabbi Afis will be the Rosh Yeshiva, and he never walked in. He made up his own yeshiva somewhere outside. And because of the kavod of Chanina, so Levi used to learn with him outside. So the Gemara is saying that, so Levi was Chanina's chavrusa, he had the best chavrusa, so it must be now that Levi came to Eretz Yisrael, must be that Rabbi Afis passed away, and now Rabbi Chanina is the Rosh Yeshiva, and Levi can't learn with him, because he can't learn with the Rosh Yeshiva, he's all busy. So the Gemara says, wait a second, who says that Rabbi Afis died? Maybe Levi came because Rabbi Chanina died, and therefore that's why Levi came here, right? He says, Dilma Noch Nashi de Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Afis is still alive. The Gemara says, "V'lo havle inish Levi the Meis of Gabai." And the reason why Levi came here is because since Rabbi Chanina passed away, he no longer has a good chavrusa. So therefore, kasi l'hacha. The Gemara says, "No, im isa the Rabbi Chanina shachiv." It had been that Rabbi Chanina had passed away. Levi the Rabbi Afis make if hayvekayifle. No, Levi would have gone in to learn by Rabbi Afis. The only reason why Levi didn't learn Rabbi Afis to begin with was as the cover of Rabbi Chanina. But if Chanina wasn't there, then as the cover of Rabbi Afis, he would have gone in to learn Rabbi Afis. The Sue, and more so, it has to be that Rabbi Chanina was alive in the Rosh Hashiva. It has to be the Sue that Rabbi Chanina lo sagid l'malich. It's impossible that Rabbi Chanina would pass away before he became the king, before he became the Rosh Hashiva. Why? Dechinoch nashi de Rebbe, because when Rebbe passed away, Amar, he said, Chanina b'Rabbi Chama Yosef b'Rosh. He basically made a statement that he's going to be the Rosh Hashiva. It says by the tzaddikim, the sigzer omer v'yakam lach, what he says is going to come to fruition. So if Rabbi said that Rabbi Chanina is going to be the Rosh Hashiva, at some point in time, he must have been the Rosh Hashiva. So it can't be that Rabbi Chanina died, it must be that Rabbi Afis died first. Rabbi Chanina is the Rosh Hashiva, and Levi came. All in brackets, wonderful. So Levi came to Bavel, and that's proof that Rabbi Chanina is now the Rosh Hashiva, and Darish Levi bin Naharda, Levi makes the drasha in Naharda, that Kalila Shari, that this Kalila, this Takshit that was that is Mutter. I guess he holds like Rav, that the Kalila is going to be, and is going to be Mutter, and that Shabbos, Nafuk Estrin Va'arba Kalila Mikul Naharda, 24 women wearing the Kalila came out in Naharda, Darsh Rabbi Barbuva b'machoza. Then Rabbi Barbuva made the drasha in machoza that Kalila Shari, that the Kalila is mutar. Then Nafku Timnei Sri Kalila Mechada Mavoa. And 18 women from one courtyard or from one mavoi came out wearing the Kalila. I guess they were all waiting. They got a heter, and then they all came out wearing it. Okay. Next, Amar Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Shmuel. Okay. Here Amar Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav Shmuel. Here it's very interesting because Rav Yehuda is a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. And here it says Rav Shmuel, and Shmuel is never really called Rav Shmuel. So I guess some change the gears of Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and some change the gears to Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because it's one or the other. Maybe he said a name of both, but it's not Rav Shmuel. He says Kamra Shari. He says this type of belt, it's a Kamra sort of type of belt, that is Mutter. Rashi says, what's a Kamra? Excuse me. He says Kamra is Avnet Choshev. It's a very, very fancy belt. Yesh she'osin also tashal zahav. Some people make it out of gold. V'yesha osim ritzua u'mishmisot zahav anvanin kvulospo. Similar to what we just had before, some say it's made out of fabric and it has embedded in it gold. It's gold stitched into it and gemstones stitched into it. So he says the kamra is mutter to wear out. So some say the reason why the kamra is mutter to wear out is because it's by a man. And this whole gzeir that we have that maybe the people will take it off is only by women, which some say, that's our pain of time. Others say the kamra is mutter because it's a belt. A belt serves a function. Even if it's only worn by wealthy people, it's not a tashit, it's functional. It holds up your clothing. It's a belt. Right? So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kamra shavri. So ikka da amri, some say the aruksa, some say that it's only the fabric one is mutter, because that's worn by regular people. But Amar of Safra, midi da havi atas muzheves, similar to the golden cloak that people wear it. That's not considered a masoi, even though it's made for wealthy people, but still, nevertheless, it's still functional. Right? The cloak covers you, the belt keeps your pants up. Right? The ika da amri, the aniska. And some say it's even about the one that's made all out of precious gold. Right? The Amar of Safra, midi da havi avnei shemalachim. It's similar to the belt worn by the kings. And Rashi says, avnei shemalachim, call Yisrael b'nei malachim ruim lo. And all b'nei Yisrael are roy to be a king, and therefore it's roy for them to wear, meaning it's not considered a masoi. Since it's worn by some people, it shows that it's functional, and if it's functional as a belt, it can be worn, even though it's not typically worn by non-royalty. Even non-royalty can wear it. It's sort of like the suspenders type thing. It keeps your clothing up, and therefore it has a functionality. Okay, Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi. Ravina says to Rav Ashi, Kamra alave himyona mai. what if you have this kamra, this belt, on top of the himyonai, which is a belt on top of another belt, right? You have the belt on a belt. Is that mutter, right? So now, technically, I guess, maybe you're not allowed to go out with two belts themselves, but this is a special belt that's on top. So the Gemara says, Amar le, shrei himyonai kamart. You're talking about two belts? So what does that mean? Rashi says it can mean either way. You can say, as most it translates, that's two belts. Who wears two belts? Two belts is not, doesn't serve a function. Obviously it's usher. Then it's just something that it's worn for tashrit, and maybe you're afraid that you're going to take it off. Or you can say, it's two belts. So two belts, you can wear two belts. They're both functional items, and you can wear them. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, trade him kamarta. He says, number one, is havadai masai huva usher. This is definitely a burden, and therefore it would be usher. That's lashon talmidei Yitzhak. Right, Ube Talmidei Rabbi Yehuda Levi Matzati Mutter. He says it means that it's saying it's rhetorically, and therefore it would be Mutter. Barisho Nirali, he says the first one makes more sense, because Rashi quotes the Gemara later on Daf Kuf Chef, that if you have a fire, you let it bring in your house, and you want to bring stuff out, you can bring out certain articles of clothing, and only says you can bring out one belt. You can't bring out two belts. Toso says that's not, he agrees with Rashi that it's Usher here, but he says that's not a real Rai over there, because over there it says that if you, the only reason why you can't bring out one belt is because you can't have a belt on top of a belt. But if you have a piece of clothing, then a belt, another piece of clothing, then another belt, that might be mutter to bring it out. But here he says that you can't put two belts on top of each other to walk in the street, because that looks like a burden, and therefore that's going to be considered carrying. Okay, I'm just going to do two more statements. Amar Rav Ashi, and maybe go further. Amar Rav Ashi, hai risuka. So risuka, I think, means some sort of corset. I'm sure Rashi says risuke is chatichas mi'il rechava. It's like this wide jacket. Right? So I istle mafri chayasa shari. If it's tied with tight with strings, then it's mutter, because it's not going to fall off. The ilo, but if it's not tied with these strings, usir. Then it's usir going Shabbos. Maybe it's going to fall, and you'll walk dalaram shusarabim. Then they said, v'lo bikatla, the one can't go out with the katla, which is the language of killing, which is the lashon of it's like a choker. So there's two things of what the katla is. My katla, what does it say here? Minakta pare. So here it says it's some sort of beautiful beged that was wrapped around the neck and goes down to her chest. So I guess to protect her from spilling, somewhat like this fancy napkin that's wrapped around her neck, and she's not going on Shabbos because maybe she'll take it off to show her friends. Abi mavrid al shusarabim. And nizamim, she can't go out nizamim. Mer says, what is nizamim? Nizamim are nizme af. Those are usher. The nose rings are usher, because those were afraid she's going to take out. But apparently, the Rishonim say that the earrings are not usher, because the earrings are going to be covered by her hair. And if they're covered by her hair, no one can see them anyway. So she's not going to move her hair to take them out. I'm not going to be concerned that she's going to walk dal amos v'sarabim. All right, let's start this. I mean, this goes all the way pretty much to the Mishnah on Amud Aleph. Let's start. So Gemara then said, the Mishnah said, lo b'tabas she'ein aleha chosem. Says that she may not walk out with a ring that does not have a signet on it, right? Because she can't go out with that. But the Gemara says, ha yesh aleha chosem. But if it's a ring that did have the signet on it, they used to sign it, right? They used to like to stamp their signature with their rings. So if it does have this chosem, the seal, the Gemara makes the diuk, then chayeves. The Mishnah says if she goes out with a ring that doesn't have the signet on it, it's usher, but as long as it's the rabbanon. Gemara makes the diuk. So if it does have the signet on it, then it's usher deoraisa. She'd be chayev achatas. Hayesh leh chosem chayeves. Alma, you see from here, lav tachshitu, that this ring that has a signet on it is not considered a piece of jewelry. Because if it's jewelry, she couldn't be able to wear it. So Gemara uriminu, but we'll ask Ekstira from the Mishnah in Maseches Kelim. The Mishnah there says, tachshitei nashim timeim. The following is a list of jewelry, women's jewelry, that therefore they're makabel tuma. The elohen tachshitei nashim. It says that tachshitei nashim are timeim. Women's jewelry are makabel tuma. Then the Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Ve'elohin tachshitei nashim." This is a list of women's jewelry. Kat laos, right? We'll explain that later. Nizamim, these nose rings. Vitabaos, and these rings. Vitabas, and this ring. Bein sheyesh lachosem, bein she'ein lachosem. Whether it has a signet or whether it doesn't have a signet, and it says nizme'af. These other jewelries of the nose, but you see from here that this is a tachshit. That this ring would be, even if it has a signet on it, it would be a tachshit. So if it is a tachshit, the diuk from the Mishnah is incorrect, because the diuk from the Mishnah is that if it has a signet, it would be chayiv achatas for walking. Why would you be chayiv achatas if it's not jewelry? But the Mishnah Kalim seems to indicate it is jewelry. Doesn't seem to. It says it is jewelry. So Gemara is going to have a few answers. First answer, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeira, lo kasha, there's no kasha. Ha, our Mishnah is Krabi Nechemya. Our Mishnah goes according to the Shita of Nechemya, who's going to say that the main purpose of a ring is the, of this ring with the signet is the signet. And therefore, if you have this, that's not going to consider a since a woman doesn't typically sign things, for her, the main function of that type of ring is the signet, and therefore it's not a jewelry, and therefore she would be chayev achatas if she wore it out. V'harabanan, and the Mishnah in Kalim goes according to Shita Rabbanim, who say that when people wearing these rings, even though they have the signet on it, their focus is on the ring itself, and to focus on the ring itself, and therefore the ring with a signet is a piece of jewelry, and if it is a piece of jewelry, it's going to be something that's jewelry for a woman, and it would be mekabel tuma, and according to Rabbanim, she probably wouldn't be chayev achatas if she walked outside. Netanya. Sorry, say again. Right, we said Nizmeyaf, or she can't go out with the Nizmeyaf. No, because the Nizmeyaf, they didn't make any diuk. The Nizmeyaf was saying that she can't go out. Because the Mishnah in Kalim says it is a piece of jewelry. The reason why she can't go out with it is because we're afraid she's going to take it off and walk with it. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Tanya, we have the following brisa. This is going to show the machlokas between Rav Nechemya and Rabbanon. The Tanya, following brisa, he shall mateches. So if you have the ring, right, this is the ring with the stamper on it. So the ring is made out of metal. The chosma shall almog, but the sign, the stamp, is made out of, the piece that holds the stamp, I guess, is made out of wood. Tameya, it's mekabel tuma. Why? Because we say that the ring is the ikker, right? And pshute kli mateches mekabel tuma. So the ring, a flat piece of wood does not mekabel tuma. A flat piece of metal does mekabel tuma. So if you focus on the ring aspect, you focus on the ring, it's mekabel tuma. But he shall almog, if the ring is made out of wood, the chosma shall mateches, and I guess the stamper is made out of metal, it's tahora mekabel tuma again, because that is, the focus is the ring. People focus on the ring. So if you focus on the ring, that's what's going to be, that's the main issue. It's mekabel tuma, because the ring is the ikker. Right, so the ring part is the ikker. So therefore, if the ring is wood, it's not going to be mekabel tuma. It's tahora. Say it again, Netanya. He shall matechas. The ring is metal and the signet is wood, it's mekabel tuma. If he shall amog, if the ring is wood and the signet is metal, it's tahora for mekabel tuma, because to focus on the ring. You have to focus on the ring. Rabbi Chemi is a tama in both places, because he says that as long as you have the metal, it's going to be tamei. Shai Rabbi Chemi Omer, Rabbi Chemi would say, b'tabas halich achar chosama, when it comes to a ring, you follow the signet. The ol, which is the yoke that you put on the cow, halich achar simlosav, the yoke has, it goes on top, and then on the sides, it goes down like this. You focus on the side items, whatever those things are, that's going to determine whether that item is makabal tum or not. Bikolav is sort of like these spikes that you put in, like these hooks that you put in to hang certain things that you're trying to sell. Halich achar masmarosav, you go according to the nails. Bisulam, when it goes to a ladder, halich achar shlivosav, you go according to the rungs. But arsa, this is like this big scale, halich achar shalshloshav, you go according to the chains that hold the plate. Shalshloshav. The chachamim orim hakol halich achar amamid. The chachamim say that everything goes according to the mamid, whatever's there that holds it up, the most important part that holds everything up. So according to Rabbi Zeira, the idea that a ring that has the signet on it depends on a machlokes in Rabbi Nechemya Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, the tabas is the ikker, right? That's the focal part, and therefore it's a tashit. Therefore, it's going to be makabel tuma, and therefore it's a tashit. And a woman who will go out would not be chayiv achatas. According to Rabbi Nechemya, the ikker is the chosam. Right, the ikra, he said, right, you got the ring, you go according to the chosam, you go according to the signet. So if that's the chosam, it's no longer considered tachshite nashim. So if you have a ring with a chosam, that's our Mishnah that's going to say that if she walks out with the ring with the chosam, you're going to be chayav in a chatas. Okay? Menachem, do the next two answers tomorrow? Let's get to the two dots then. Okay. Rava Amar, Rava says, must be on mute, that's why he's not answering. Rava Amar, Rabbi says, what's the difference? Let's start the Katani. He says, no. Oh, it's fine? Okay. So you pick up here. Okay, no problem. We'll pick up here, and everyone have a great day.